always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The Israeli cabinet will vote Friday on a ceasefire deal with Hamas. It comes after a delay. Secretary of State Antony Blinken delivered his farewell remarks from the State Department today and expressed confidence that a deal would be implemented. CBS's Willie James Inman says Blinken also outlined a plan for Gaza once the ceasefire deal takes effect.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken has to pass the baton, essentially. He's talked about a day-after plan that he would present the incoming team with. That would call for the reconstruction of Gaza, that would call for a security force composed of other nations to be able to go into Gaza and make sure to keep things safe.
The medical examiner says the death toll in the L.A. County wildfires has risen to 27. The L.A. sheriff says 31 people are still missing. With less wind now, firefighters are making progress with the Palisades fire, now 27% contained, and the Eaton fire containment now at 55%. Some evacuees in those fire zones are being allowed to return, and CBS's Rob Marciano reports.
Thousands of structures have been damaged or completely destroyed by the firestorm. Now comes the arduous task of making sure these fire-ravaged communities are safe as residents and business owners start to return to survey what's left, if anything is left. Pesticide, fuel, and lithium batteries need to be removed. Utility companies are also working on power and gas lines.
President Biden has been honored at the Department of Defense Commander-in-Chief farewell ceremony at Joint Base Myers-Henderson. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
It began with a 21-cannon salute. And then the introduction from Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin.
It is my honor to introduce one last time the President of the United States.
President Biden said the honor was all his.
Serving as your Commander-in-Chief has been the greatest honor of my life.
But he said the real honor goes to the troops and their families.
I'm here to thank you. Thank you for your service.
And with brilliant military precision came a final salute to the president. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
China says that its economy expanded at a 5% annual pace in 2024, achieving Beijing's target of around 5% growth, helped by strong exports and recent stimulus measures. It launched from Texas this afternoon, but in the end, it's not good news for the test flight of the SpaceX Starship rocket. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
It appeared to break up right as it was reaching space. We don't yet know why. SpaceX promises an explanation after they look at the data, but they confirm the vehicle came apart for some reason.
This is CBS News.
Brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com.
Community Stories is taking a holiday break for the month of January. I'm your host, Melissa Kay, and the show will be back in February with more stories from your community.
The Packers GM on Jordan Love. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brian Gutekunst held his end-of-season press conference saying wide receiver Christian Watson has not had surgery yet for his torn ACL. The Packers GM asked if Jordan Love took a step back this year at quarterback.
Obviously, he went through some things this year, battled through some injuries that he hadn't done that before. Came out the other side of it and was really proud of him, how he went through that. And he's leading our team exactly how we want him to do it, so I'm excited about it.
And baseball remembering Bob Uecker. Born in Milwaukee, served in the military, played catcher in the big leagues before calling Brewers games for 53 years. Uecker at his induction into baseball's Hall of Fame.
I signed a very modest $3,000 bonus with the Braves in Milwaukee, which I'm sure a lot of you know. And my old man didn't have that kind of money to put out. But the Braves took it.
Bob Uecker had suffered from lung cancer the past 2 years. He was 90 years old. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Malcolm in the Middle is putting the band back together. The crazy popular show that premiered in 2000 is ready for a reboot. Bryan Cranston and Jane Kaczmarek will return, as well as series creator and head writer Linwood Boomer. Frankie Muniz also returns as Malcolm, who is now almost 40. During the show's 151-episode run, it pulled 33 Emmy nominations. Disney announced they will make 4 episodes to start. And oh my gosh, it's been a few weeks since Taylor Swift has made news. She is being a supportive girlfriend. Travis Kelce has decided to continue his NFL career despite falling stat lines, and Taylor Swift says she fully supports his decision. That's the story. It's not much, folks, but a little Taylor Swift news is less depressing than other news happening around the world. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy and lows in the upper teens. A southerly breeze, gusty overnight. On Friday, a wintry mix possible of some light snow, a little freezing rain, and some flurries. Highs will be in the mid-30s. The weekend will get much colder. It's 24 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
We have a very big, important meeting. So coming up on the show, a specially curated edition of Matinair on Air. We'll be back with you live on Monday. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Head online to get tips on great ways to get moving every day.
At letsmove.gov. A message from the Ad Council and HHS.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, happy Thursday. A lot going on here. Anthony Blinken signing off at the State Department. Joe Biden last night leaving us with a warning. American Caesar, is Trump's path to power similar to something the world has seen before? I'll tell you about that in a minute. Also, details on the Middle East peace deal and new thoughts on why Kamala Harris lost that ties into that. In the second hour of our program, Phil Itner is going to drop by, our one guest for the day, live from Kyiv, Ukraine, with an update on how things are going there. And, I'm sure we'll get into a conversation about what they're anticipating to come from the Trump administration, particularly now that Mike Turner has been kicked off the Intelligence Committee. We'll get into that. Also, Trump is reshaping Congress to be more Putin-friendly. Didn't Biden just warn us about this? And the wild lies about the Los Angeles fires coming from Russia and right-wingers and being amplified by social media's secret algorithms. We'll talk about that in the second hour. In the third hour of the program, so much for the Equal Rights Amendment. And does a green Mediterranean diet slow down aging? I'll tell you about all those things as we go through the day. But to start out, my op-ed today over at HartmanReport.com, my daily take is titled, American Caesar, Trump's Path to Power Mirrors Rome's Darkest Days. For 482 years, Rome was a democratic republic, you know, more or less, but, you know, largely a democratic republic, the world's second after, you know, Greece 1,000 years earlier. And America has been a democratic republic, arguably, for 236 years. The end of the democratic phase of the Roman Republic, which was followed by several hundred years of tyranny, basically, and then the collapse of the empire itself. The end of the democratic phase of the Roman Empire was really brought about by a small group of very, very rich Roman citizens. Marcus Licinius Crassus was the leader of the band. He was the richest man in Rome, in the Roman Empire, the entire empire. Very, very wealthy. And he hated the fact that his taxes were paying for Rome's free bread for all policy. Remember Bread and Circus? Well, give people free bread, give them the Colosseum, and they won't revolt. Well, he didn't like that because it was being paid for with his tax dollars. So he and a few other rich guys, Gnaeus Pompeius Magnus was probably the most famous. He was called Pompey the Great. They wanted to end the voice of the public in political decision making. And particularly, they want to end free bread paid for with their tax dollars. So they use their massive wealth to promote authoritarian populism and buy off legislators. It was the Senate, the Roman Senate, who'd be loyal to them. And this created a gridlock in the Roman Senate, which caused the Roman people to lose faith in their form of government. The Senate was no longer capable of getting anything done because the senators who were loyal to the billionaires, to the Roman billionaires, refused to go along with doing anything that would help the people. All they wanted to do was tax cuts for the billionaires in the Roman Senate. Now, I'm hyper simplifying, but you can read this in multiple analyses of the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. There were three primary elements that the Roman morbidly rich used to erode the power of Rome and replace it with sycophants loyal to them. The first was a polarization and elite gridlock. They basically set society against itself, and the very, very wealthy people, you know, prevented any progress, forward progress in the legislative arena. The second was the erosion of democratic norms. They destroyed the idea of compromise, collegiality, working things out in the Senate, that sort of thing. And the third was the concentration of power in the hands of a small elite who funded and thus controlled Rome's senators. It took decades, but they finally succeeded in using that lack of faith in their government, in the Roman government, to replace Roman democracy with Caesarism. Caesarism was, we want a strong man. And the first Caesar to provide that was Julius. He crossed the Rubicon River and seized Rome. And then I believe it was two or maybe three leaders later, it was all gone by then. I mean, that was the end of it. And, you know, we've seen this, we're seeing something very much like this going on in the United States. I mean, it took decades, but, you know, Augustus Caesar finally just, you know, put a nail in the coffin of democracy in the Roman Republic in the years after Julius was assassinated. Here in America, we have a very analogous situation. I mean, it's striking. We have a small handful of very wealthy right-wing billionaires who, since the 1970s, have been funding gridlock, elite gridlock, using their tax dollars to being offended by the use of their tax dollars to support the American version of free bread, which is Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, unemployment insurance, food stamps, quality primary, free primary education, low-cost college, things like that. And they had their first major success in the 1990s. I mean, arguably, Ronald Reagan was their first success, but the big one was in the 1990s when Newt Gingrich became Speaker of the House of Representatives, because he began doing in the House of Representatives what had really never been done arguably since the 1850s. I think you could argue that there was an analogous period that led to the Civil War. But he began this whole process that was very similar to what we saw with the Roman Senate, you know, leading in the years leading up to the rise of Julius Caesar, which was a new form of American politics based on political warfare, delegitimizing the American government and the programs of the New Deal and the Great Society, manipulation of the media, populist messaging, and using obstruction as a political strategy. Now, again, these are all things that are analogous to what was happening when basically the billionaires took over ancient Rome. And his efforts were amplified by media owned by billionaires, you know, Fox so-called News and right-wing hate radio, always trash-talking the New Deal and the Great Society programs, calling for more tax cuts to defund the government and encouraging hatred of politicians in the political process. And the result, just like in Rome, the result was political gridlock, or is, the end of democratic norms of collegiality and compromise, and the concentration of power in the Speaker's office, and then ultimately in the Republican Party itself. This has caused more than 75% of Americans to say that they no longer believe, they no longer trust the American government. People have lost faith in our form of government because these billionaires funded this rise of these right-wing obstructionists. And I mean, there's this whole movement now to turn to have a new American Caesar. I mean, literally, it started with a guy named Curtis Yarvin, but now Michael Anton, Charles Haywood, Kevin Roberts, there's a bunch of these guys who, you know, sometimes explicitly calling for American Caesarism, in other words, a strongman government, sometimes implicitly calling for it. But here we are. Just like in the Roman Republic, America's morbidly rich and their business interests have funded efforts to denigrate popular government and its programs for decades, all just to serve their financial and political interests. Just like in the Roman Empire, the politicians funded by these elite right-wingers have crippled the ability of our government to meaningfully meet the need of anybody other than their patrons. Just like in the Roman government, Republic, this billionaire-funded gridlock has led our nation to widespread immiseration, homelessness, a breakdown of the social contract, accompanied by the eruption of militia groups and billionaire-funded AstroTurf movements. Just like in the Roman Republic, the seizure of government by rich men and its subsequent inability to meet the needs of the majority of its citizens has driven popular discontent, loss of trust, and calls for radical reform that includes an abandonment of democratic principles, the rule of law, and the embrace of a strong man like Caesar. And just like in the Roman Republic, that call for reform has been met by a strong man figure who claims that he alone can fix things and who demands total loyalty and subservience from elected officials and the institutions of the state, as we saw with the complete and utter humiliation of Joni Ernst day before yesterday. Trump has now crossed the Rubicon. He's going to be inaugurated, you know, next Monday. He seized the government and is demanding Caesar-like pledges and performances of loyalty and fealty. And next week, we'll see how closely Trump and his Caesarist allies will follow this ancient roadmap to destroy democracy, with oligarchy first. And then, as I repeatedly tell you, I wrote a whole book about this, The Hidden History of American Oligarchy. Oligarchy is a transitional form of government. It never lasts because the people get pissed off that the oligarchs are stealing everything. And so countries either flip back into democracy, as we did in the 1930s and the 1860s, or they flip into tyranny, as Russia and Hungary have done. Which way will we go? Stay tuned.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Summary of the news right after this. There's so much going on. Stay with us.
Ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. That's 800-554-0206.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's comedy?
I think for me, one of the quick ones that I have is like telling time on an analog clock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it takes me a minute.
It takes me a minute.
That was funny.
Yeah.
At least groan worthy. At least groan worthy.
I needed a minute for it to sink in, James.
No, that was funny. That's good.
Every weekday morning from 8 to 10, only on 97.5 FM, WFHR.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. Hey, are you ready to move easily and independently without pain or stiffness holding you back? You want to look in the mirror and see a plump, hydrated glow instead of more fine lines and wrinkles? Discover Native Path Collagen, made with the only type 1 and 3 collagen fibers, the two most important types, that make up 90% of the collagen in your body found in your cartilage, bones, skin, hair, nails, and gut. These type 1s and 3s produce maximum benefits without the need for unnecessary fillers. Native Path Collagen is a single ingredient formula with no fillers, additives, or artificial sweeteners. Plus, it's third-party tested for heavy metals, ensuring purity and safety. Completely flavorless, Native Path Collagen can be added to anything, coffee, smoothies, soups, you name it. Its peptide formula makes it more bioavailable, meaning it's absorbed more easily and mixes perfectly without clumping. And you can get 3 or 6 packs at a fraction of the price of other brands. Visit getnativepath.com/Hartman with 2 N's at the end and start your transformation today. That is getnativepath, getnativepath.com/Hartman with 2 N's. getnativepath.com/Hartman.
A line that blurred where right went wrong. Crisis fought the Senate's game. And Caesar rose in a power flame. Now echoes ring through history's halls. Are we too blind to hear?
President Biden gave a farewell address last night to the nation, echoing Dwight Eisenhower's farewell address in 1961, in January of 1961. He said, I want to warn the country of some things that give me great concern, and this is a dangerous concentration of power in the hands of a very few ultra-wealthy people, and the dangerous consequences if their abuse of power is left unchecked. The president said, today an oligarchy is taking shape in America of extreme wealth, power, and influence that literally threatens our entire democracy, our basic rights and freedoms, and a fair shot for everyone to get ahead. We see the consequences all across America, and we've seen it before. Robber barons, and that was, Teddy Roosevelt first, and then Franklin Roosevelt. He said, we've got to do that again. He points out that Dwight Eisenhower warned us of the military-industrial complex and, quote, the potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power. And President Biden says, 6 decades later, I'm equally concerned about the potential rise of a tech industrial complex that could pose real dangers for our countries as well. And then he talks about what it is that, you know, people like Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg are bringing us. He said the truth is smothered by lies told for power and profit. We must hold the social platforms accountable to protect our children, our families, and our very democracy from this abuse of power. Meanwhile, artificial intelligence is the most consequential technology of our time. He goes off on that. And then he says, in a democracy, there's another danger, that the concentration of power and wealth, it erodes a sense of unity and common purpose. This is exactly what I was just telling you about, exactly what happened in ancient Rome. It causes distrust and division. Participating in our democracy becomes exhausting and even disillusioning, President Biden said. And people don't feel like they have a fair shot. We have to stay engaged in the process. I know it's frustrating, he said. A fair shot is what makes America, America. Everyone is entitled to a fair shot. Not a guarantee, just a fair shot, an even playing field. And, you know, he just basically laid it out. Meanwhile, there is this Gaza ceasefire deal that Netanyahu has put on hold now. We'll see where this goes, but it looks to me like it's more performance than reality. There will be some hostages released just before Trump comes into office. 33, I believe, women, children, elderly, and wounded civilians from Hamas, and a couple of hundred, maybe 1,000 or more Hamas fighters by Israel. But then comes phase two, which still has to be negotiated. And then comes phase three, which still has to be negotiated. So my sense of it is, and I hope I'm wrong on this, but, you know, color me cynical when it comes to anything that involves Benjamin Netanyahu. I think this is going to be, this is more performance than actuality, that Netanyahu is, this is going to be a momentary PR spike and an opportunity for Donald Trump to claim victory, to claim that he pulled something off. In fact, they may even, you know, ultimately sign it Sunday morning or something like that. It won't be probably Friday night or Saturday, of course, the Jewish Sabbath. But I think that this is, I'm very skeptical of this. I'd be happy to hear your thoughts on it right after the break.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
A new survey by YouGov, by the way, points out the number one reason why Kamala Harris lost. I'll share that with you on the other side of the break, and I'll pick up your call.
Out of two Americans think their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finished their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. That's 800-640-6298.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu's office says Israel has finalized its ceasefire agreement with Hamas, and his security cabinet will meet to okay the deal prior to full government approval. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
I'm very confident that this is moving forward, and we'll see the start of implementation of the agreement on Sunday.
Pasadena, California has declared a local health emergency because of the fires creating toxic smoke and ash.
They're asking people to wear their N95 masks, a P100 respirator, so people can sift through their debris.
CBS's Andres Gutierrez. President Biden delivered a farewell address today at Joint Base Myers-Henderson.
1% of you defend 99% of the people across this nation. That's why you all deserve a special place in our hearts. And in God's heart.
The president received a 21-gun salute from the armed forces. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Stand-up comic Bill Burr shared opinions on the catastrophic LA fires during an appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live, like only Bill Burr can. After saying he was tired of people on the internet sitting at home in their underwear suddenly becoming fire experts, Burr attacked insurance companies, saying they will keep the people's premiums and give themselves bonuses, insinuating that they are the actual looters. John Cena's likability is off the charts with John Cena fans. The sometime actor, sometime wrestler will host a new talk series. Variety reports that Cena will host a 4-episode talker called What Drives You and will interview guests like Logan Paul, Jelly Roll, and Travis Barker in their favorite cars. This is a really original idea that was even more original when Jerry Seinfeld came up with it. What Drives You will air January 21st on the Roku channel. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Packers GM on Jordan Love. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brian Gutekunst held his end-of-season press conference saying wide receiver Christian Watson has not had surgery yet for his torn ACL. The Packers GM asked if Jordan Love took a step back this year at quarterback.
Obviously, he went through some things this year, battled through some injuries that he hadn't done that before. Came out the other side of it and was really proud of him, how he went through that. And he's leading our team exactly how we want him to do it, so I'm excited about it.
And baseball, remembering Bob Uecker. Born in Milwaukee, served in the military, played catcher in the big leagues before calling Brewers games for 53 years, Uecker at his induction into baseball's Hall of Fame.
I signed a very modest $3,000 bonus with the Braves in Milwaukee, which I'm sure a lot of you know, and my old man didn't have that kind of money to put out. But the Braves took it.
Bob Uecker had suffered from lung cancer the past 2 years. He was 90 years old. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy and lows in the upper teens. A southerly breeze, gusty overnight. On Friday, a wintry mix possible of some light snow, a little freezing rain, and some flurries. Highs will be in the mid-30s. The weekend will get much colder. Currently 26 degrees.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Wisconsin Women's Basketball brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, and streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens, visit Kenosha Marketing Director Meredith Jamesco, and Bar Band Friday nights resume with Max Inc. radio host Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Anthony Blinken was basically saying goodbye to the press corps when one of the people in the room, one of the reporters in the room, started shouting, interrupted him fairly early on, and started yelling, you know, how do you feel about your legacy being genocide and the death of 40, 50,000 people? Of course, he didn't respond to it. But there's a new YouGov poll that just came out. I mentioned this to Congressman Pocan yesterday, but it's worth mentioning again just to make sure you get it. They tracked down several thousand people who had voted for Joe Biden in 2020 and did not vote for Kamala Harris in 2020, did not vote for anybody in 2024, and asked, why did you not vote? Because there's, you know, I've heard different numbers, you know, 8 million, 9 million, 11 million, whatever. Millions of people who did vote for Biden in 2020 didn't even bother to show up and vote in 2024. Now, by the way, that's the main media narrative, and there's a lot of truth to it. But I think that one of the things it misses is the massive number of people who were prevented from voting or whose votes were not counted as a result of Republican efforts to prevent people from voting or from having their votes counted. But in any case, of the people who explicitly didn't show up that YouGov was able to poll, what they found was that the number one reason, 29%, almost a third of all of them, said the reason that they didn't bother to vote was because of the slaughter in Gaza, 29%. 24% said it was inflation slash the economy, and 11% said they were concerned that Joe Biden had left the southern border wide open, which is not true, of course. It's a Republican lie. And what's particularly interesting is this: the percentage who said, I didn't vote because of Gaza, was fairly low in Georgia. It was only 6%. But in Arizona and Wisconsin, it was over 30%. It was 38% in Arizona. It was 32% in Wisconsin. It was 32% in Michigan. Now, these were the places where an awful lot of money was spent trying to convince Democrats and liberals, progressives in particular, that Joe Biden had abandoned them in favor of Netanyahu. And clearly it hurt, and it hurt badly. So what's on your mind today? Roger in Seattle. Hey, Roger, what's up?
I had a quick answer to your Kamala question before I get to the Fourth Estate question that I gave the screener. Kamala lost because she, as I said a couple weeks ago, followed the Mrs. Obama by not descending to the lowest level of vitriol like Trump. If she had gone to that level, then she would have won. But she didn't have time to organize that type of anti, you know, lowest common denominator campaign. So getting back to my Fourth Estate comment, do you know who the first Postmaster General was of the United States?
I thought it was Ben Franklin.
Exactly right. I went to Franklin Marshall College, one of at least two colleges named for Ben Franklin, and he was part of a government-funded, which isn't totally government-funded now, but the government saw that post office was a valuable resource.
So right,
they
in the Constitution.
Subsidized, or they fully funded the post office.
It's in Article 1, Section 7.
It became a private public partnership or private corporation or something like that.
Yeah, as I recall. Maybe it wasn't Reagan, but it was back in the 70s or 80s. They reinvented the post office as a kind of standalone federal corporation like Amtrak.
Right. So why can't we expand the public radio, like KBCS is the station I hear you on here. Mm-hmm. Why can't we expand the Public Radio Act? Certainly it's going to happen under Trump, I'm sure. But why can't we expand that act to subsidize rural newspapers that are having a lot of trouble surviving? Right. Right now, the Seattle Times has a regular column to highlight what are the efforts that newspapers across the countries are doing to survive.
Right.
So at least now we have 4 years, maybe 12 years, look at.
I get what you're saying, Roger. NPR and Corporation for Nations. Public Broadcasting, however, basically the federal subsidies that they're getting are negligible now. They're pretty much standalone. Republicans will probably zero them out. But I don't think that's going to hurt them that badly. They'll just have to increase their fundraising efforts. But that means that basically the probability of money, you know, going to those local newspapers is under a Republican administration is, you know, close to zero.
Well, that goes against the oligarchies of the Washington Post and the other papers that are owned by billionaires by having
I agree with you, but it's I get it and I agree with you. I just don't think it's going to happen. Roger, thank you for the call. John in Los Angeles. Hey, John. Thanks for listening to KTFK. What's up?
Hey, Tom. A couple of things real quick. My question for you, but I'd like to make a comment after that. My question is, what is happening or what has happened to Chuck Grassley? I watched some of the confirmation hearings, and his long, long career has basically gone up in smoke as far as I'm concerned.
Well, he's 91 years old, and he's afraid of Donald Trump.
Yeah, but why the okay, I get it. And if you're 91 years old, why would you be afraid of anyone? But that's another issue.
I would agree with you.
And then also the shift in the support, the base of the Republican Party you've been talking about has been going on for decades as they've created this method of reaching out to people through lies and disinformation, and they've mastered that technique with their, the radio. They're very, very well organized as far as social media is concerned, and the Democrats aren't.
That's
but
true.
Did it start, do you think it started way, way back with William F. Buckley, and he reached out to he actually said, I don't care about the elites. I don't care about these people. I want middle America, the working people, to get into this Republican Party. And so indoctrination from his...
I don't think it started with Buckley. Buckley was a believer in telling the truth, even when it was unpleasant. I mean, you know, Buckley penned and of course, this was BS, but it was his truth. Back in 1957, I think it was, in National Review, he wrote a whole article about how the white race is the superior race. I mean, you know, he was willing to say things that were just outrageous and stupid even, but he believed them. This is not a defense of Buckley, because I think Buckley was a complete ass and a wealthy ass at that. But my point is that he was not the guy who started the let's lie about things, although you could argue that the white race is superior is a horrible big lie, but he was not the guy who really started. That was the Reagan administration. It was, you know, they wanted to sell their tax cuts, and so they invented this thing called trickle-down economics, or they reinvented it. It had previously been called horse and sparrow economics in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Warren Harding had revived it in 1921 as president. And, you know, the idea that if you give tax breaks to billionaires, then everybody else prospers. The idea that if you destroy unions, that workers will make more money and get better benefits. There was just a whole series of just blatant lies that if you destroy the environment, you're helping the environment. The trees cause pollution. Just a whole bunch of blatant
lies. Yeah, the opposite world, right.
Yeah, that Reagan promoted. And basically the GOP has been in lie promotion mode ever since.
Well, I agree, and I know that we're looking at these lies being broadcast on during the confirmation hearings while the Republican Party is using this as a platform
to
destroy.
Forgive my interrupting. Yeah, finish your thought, John.
I was just saying that the Republican Party is not questioning the the appointees, but using their time to basically spread their lies about what's happening to America, and the opposite world type of comment, and just cutting down and lying about their, you know, the other side of the aisle, as they call it. And I think if we listen carefully to the confirmation hearings, it's obvious that there is no desire among the Republican Party to question the qualifications and or standards of the people there that Trump has chosen, and they're not even worried about their background checks, which are a joke.
Yeah, I get it. And this is, you know, again, they don't care about reality. They don't care about the truth. They just care about having power and the wealth that's associated with power. And thanks a lot, John. This is oligarchy. This is what you're looking at right now coming into office is oligarchy. And as I keep telling you, oligarchy is a transitional form of government. It's not permanent. And it's a dangerous transitional form.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Back with more of your calls in just a moment. Stay with us.
You watch the news. Be prepared to pay more taxes. Then if you owe back taxes or haven't filed in a few years, get ready. The IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, will be coming after you. With the power to collect taxes by any means they want to. Hey, they can freeze your bank account, your passport, even padlock your business. Good times. Look, if the IRS claims you owe them $5,000 or more in back taxes and they're coming after you, don't panic. Call my friends at Get a Tax Lawyer first. Their job is to negotiate with the IRS and save you money. They're experts at it. That's all they do. And you can trust them. In some cases, they have reduced a $50,000 tax bill to less than $1,000. If you owe the IRS $5,000 or more in back taxes, call now for a free consultation.
800-908-7016. 800-908-7016. 800-908-7016. That's 800-908-7016.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbush Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us.
Hey, it's a new year and it's time to make a difference. Have you been thinking about supporting a cause that really matters? Now's the time to join the Freedom From Religion Foundation. FFRF is a leading voice for the separation of church and state. They're standing up for your rights as a non-religious free thinker. Or a religious free thinker, for that matter. Whether it's protecting public schools from religious influence, defending freedom of thought, or advocating for science and reason in government. And when you become a member, you're not just joining a cause, you're joining a community. You get access to exclusive content like their Free Thought Today newspaper, events with top thinkers and activists, and so much more. Ready to take action? Visit FFRF, you know, like Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.us/Hartman, with two N's at the end. Or text my last name, Hartman, to 511-511 to become a member today. Text Hartman to 511-511 or go to FFRF.us/Hartman today. Together we can make 2025 the year we protect our religious liberties like never before. Text fees may apply.
The leader rises claiming he'll repair, but the cracks in the foundation, they're part of his plan to dismantle the democracy.
Welcome back, 9 minutes before the hour, and picking up your calls here, Brian in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hey, Brian, thanks for listening to KTRC. What's up?
Hey, good morning, Tom. I just wanted to point out that whenever I hear people talking about fascism and oligarchy, I think we need to remind people or take the perspective that fascism is the yin to the utopian socialist yang. And we don't really talk about how, in my view, a lot of Americans are rejecting socialism. And we don't really talk about how socialism is going to work. I mean, I hear the progressive wish list with universal health care and free college and housing if needed and everything else. I just don't see how that's going to work. I mean, America is a competitive society. America is this weird blend. We've always had this element of socialism in America because when America started, white Christian males had all the advantages. They called all the shots. Everybody had to live with what they decided with. You know, that was the socialism in 1780.
Yeah, but we really didn't adopt the socialist notions that the purpose of government, that a principal purpose of government is, you know, the general welfare. I mean, we gave it lip service. I would say, you know, Lincoln moved a big step in that direction with, I think it was called the Morrill Act, where he created 56, he gave federal land to the states to produce 56 land-grant colleges. Michigan State University was one of them. And right. And the whole goal was, and this was in the 1860s, early 1860s, the whole goal was that there would be free college forever in these 56 schools. Of course, that's not how it worked out. But, you know, thank you, Ronald Reagan. But the real explosion of socialism was with Franklin Roosevelt. You know, it was Social Security and unemployment insurance and the right to unionize and things like that. But Brian, do you really seriously think that the richest nation on earth can't afford to have a national health care system? I mean, what we're spending 21% of all payroll right now is going to health insurance. We're spending more on health care costs than any country in the world, and we've got worse outcomes than any other developed country in the world.
And Tom, you know why we have worse outcomes? because Americans have a horrible diet and they don't get any exercise.
Now, there's plenty of countries that have a horrible diet. We've got 30 million people who have no health insurance, Brian. They have functionally no access. And then you've got another, you know, you've got almost $1 trillion in medical debt out there. I mean, you've got people who are postponing health. Healthcare, who can't afford their medications. That doesn't happen in any other developed country. That's what's driving this. I reject your premise, respectfully, Brian. I know you call regularly, but I reject the premise that America can't have a national healthcare system. And then additionally, when you look at free college, the other thing that you mentioned, free college is an investment in the future. We know from the experience with the GI Bill in the 1950s and 60s that every $1 we spent sending one of those young men who came back from World War II to college, for every $1 we invested, we got seven additional dollars in tax revenue during their lifetimes. It was a 700% return on investment. And that's why every other developed country in the world not just offers free or cheap college, but at least half of them pay people to go to college. In Denmark, you get a couple $100 a month to go to college. Same thing in France, in Germany. It's because they're investing in their young people. We're not investing in our young people, and we don't have a national health care system because we've got a bunch of greedy billionaires who don't, number one, don't want to pay their damn taxes to invest in our young people with free college. And number two, many of them are making their fortune off health care. I mean, it's producing billionaires, and they've got this weird libertarian notion that America just can't do things, that you know, people should just stand up on their own. And how do you stand up on your own when you've just been told you have cancer?
Right. I want more affordable health care for everybody. And I want people to get better educated. But a lot of it comes down to individuals wanting to do it. You know, the big problem with education in the United States is K-12. It's not college.
No, you're
kids aren't getting a good education.
You're blithering, Brian. We had one of the best K-12 systems in the world until the 1980s. And arguably it was still one of the best in the world right up until the 21st century. And now you've got five Republican controlled states that are in the process of completely dismantling their public education systems in an effort to break the teachers' unions. Again, because you've got a bunch of billionaires who own the Republican Party who hate unions and who are very skeptical about the need for an educated populace, because after all, there's enough wealthy people in this country that they can go to private schools and they can go to elite universities and they'll just run the country. And everybody else can just be a laborer for the billionaire class. This is not about rugged individualism, Brian. This is about the oligarchy, you know, having seized control of our country and running it into the ground for their own purposes.
Well, they haven't completely. But if Democrats want to win back power, I think they need to take a more centrist approach.
What does that mean?
And explain. Well, okay, you want there has to be limits and responsibility along with all the benefits.
There's plenty of responsibility.
All we hear about is what you're going to give everybody.
You've got an entire generation paralyzed by student debt. The responsibility. I remember Debbie Stabenow telling me, you know, that we've got to make it so you can't declare bankruptcy on student debt, so young people learn a lesson about responsibility. That's horse crap. Brian, thank you for the call. I'll be back on the other side of the break. Stay with us. Well, it's going to be Phil Edner.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Look, yo, how do you feel today? Maybe you're a little hungover again, feeling a little embarrassed about a few things? Listen, why haven't you called yet to get help? Man, aren't you tired of feeling this way? So listen, whatever your party drug of choice is, there are ways to get clean and sober, especially if it's messing with your life. Hey man, we all have choices. You can make a choice right here, right now, today, to call the number I'm about to give you and start a brand new life without drugs or booze. I know it's hard to think about this, but imagine how great your life could be. And all it takes is one simple phone call. I've got a team of people standing by ready to check your insurance and let you know what it takes to get clean and sober. Okay, so get ready to save this number, because here it comes.
800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. That's 800-961-2480.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Our friend Matt Rothschild will be in the guest hosting chair next time, along with Tourism Secretary Ann Sayers, Wisconsin's Poet Laureate, and Brittany Merlot, talking owls and birds. Join them.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Have you listened to Community Stories yet? The show that features voices from right here in our community? Well, for the month of January, you can catch up on podcasts of past episodes on our website at civicmedia.us. The show's going on vacation for a month, but Community Stories will return in February, tanned and well-rested. Okay, maybe not, but the stories will be fresh and engaging. Keep your dial tuned to WFHR for updates on the new schedule, guests, and stories from right here in our community.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the Gaza ceasefire and hostage release deal with Hamas has finally been reached, and his security cabinet will meet within hours to ratify it. More from CBS's Natalie Brand.
Demonstrators gathered in Tel Aviv late into the night, calling on Israel to seal the deal. Among them, Gil Dickman, who says his cousin was killed while held by Hamas in Gaza.
The deal that we're having is the same deal that we had on the table in May. The only thing that's changed is that some of the hostages were killed in captivity, just like my cousin.
Palestinians displaced by 15 months of war expressed cautious optimism.
We've been through this several times. It's not the first time. And we hope it will be the last one.
It could be a week or more before homeowners in the Los Angeles area will be allowed to check on their fire-damaged properties.